And now get ready to smile again with Radio's home folks, Vic and Sade.
Say, you know what I got here? A big slice of fresh strawberry rhubarb pie I got from the Crisco kitchen. Half strawberry and half rhubarb. And it's got a tricky-looking latticework for the top crust. Gosh, it looks so good, I sort of hate to sink my teeth into it, but here goes.
Well, sir, it's about 7 o'clock as we enter the small house halfway up the next block now. And here in the living room, we find all our friends assembled, including Sage Uncle Fletcher. Uncle Fletcher is seated beside young Rush on the davenport, and we hear him say...
Yes, I carry considerable keys in my pockets, always have.
Plenty of resources, man, in one bunch.
Better than 100 here.
Don't they weigh you down?
Some.
Let me have some once.
5.
Golly, did you ever see so many keys? Look once, girl.
Holy smoke.
All through life, I've carried a big bunch of keys. Made the point never to throw a key away. Somebody told me one time it's bad luck to throw keys away. Ever hear that, Sadie?
No, I don't believe so.
Tell you who gave me that information.
All right.
Harry McFitcher. You recollect Harry, likely.
No. Fixing man?
Belvedere. Here's a party I was telling you about that fell off a piano stool, got his knee caught in his necktie, and choked to death before anybody could get him entangled.
Good.
I did tell you about that, didn't I?
Well, I don't quite remember it.
Five.
Your anecdotes, Uncle Fletcher, are always so startling.
No, Harry was visiting a young lady there in Belvedere. And after supper, everybody was lazing around the living room. And the young lady's papa said, step over to the piano, Harry, and slam us out of tune. You say you don't remember Harry, Sadie? Fella could play the piano like a cycle. The young lady's papa said, step over to the piano, Harry, and slam us out of tune. Harry whirled the stool around a few times, sat down, lost his footing, crashed to the floor and began to squirm. Nobody knew what was the matter. Come to find out, Harry got his knee caught in his necktie, right on the spot.
My land.
Very sad thing.
My stars, yes.
They wrote it up in the Freeport papers and all around.
Did you use all these keys, Uncle Fletcher?
Oh, no. Don't use a tenth of
them. I was going to say.
This here key is my door key at home. This half-wit key, as far as I know, don't unlock anything. Fancy would know.
Yeah, that little curly cues and junk.
Might be a bookcase key. Bookcase keys are generally like this.
No, is it?
Fine. So, I carry keys. Take some fellas, they don't carry keys, but I do. I carry keys. Delicious supper, Sadie.
Oh, thank you.
Here's a big son of a gun of a key.
That key, Rush. Unlocks a tool house on the Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy Railroad.
Yeah?
Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy Railroad.
Huh.
I've carried it for more than 20 years.
Huh.
I always figure carrying a big bunch of keys helps a fellow make a good impression on people.
Oh, so?
Beg pardon, Vic?
What's your line of reasoning?
You just said you figured carrying keys makes a good impression on people. Gov wonders how you come to that conclusion.
Oh, wondered about that, huh, Vic?
Yeah.
No, it's the way you're built, I guess. I carry keys. Maybe you don't carry keys.
I only carry the ones I use.
Sure. Well, I can understand that.
Leland Richards lugs a lot of keys around with him.
Leland is a good boy.
He hasn't got as many as you've got, but he's got enough to weigh his pockets down to where it looks like he's carrying a brick around with him.
Leland's all right. I saw Leland just this afternoon. Delicious supper, Sadie.
I thought it was pretty fair myself.
No, I'll tell you, Rush. Fella carry plenty of keys on him, and people look up to you.
Is that right?
I say I'm going into a store to buy a pair of sleeve gardens. I tell the half-foot clerk I want sleeve gardens. Tell him I want good sleeve gardens. Good sleeve gardens and no nonsense or back talk. Then I pull him a bunch of keys out of my pocket and twirl them around, careless and absent-minded. Half-foot clerk's eyes will bug out every time. He'll jump up sharp and look alive. It's the same principle. It's when you price a big lot of money. Some fellas do that. Some fellas flip out a roll of bills as fat as your leg. But I find a big bunch of keys gets the same results. Yeah, I carry keys.
You guys want to play with me?
We're chatting along fine, Rick.
Okay.
Maybe you'd like to pop some popcorn after a while.
Not at all.
Seems like we ought to do something to entertain you.
Yes, it does.
What's this little bit of a key?
Watch key.
Watch key?
Rush, haven't you ever seen a key wind or a watch?
No.
I can recall one that wasn't any other kind. Remember the old key winder I used to have, Sadie?
Oh, you bet I do.
I used to hold it up to you and Bessie's ear.
Uh-huh. Do you still have it at home?
That watch got smashed into 40 pieces.
Oh, really?
I led it to Charlie Eagles. Charlie got mad at Ed Werfer and threw it at him. That which watch bounced off Ed's head and hit the side of a building. Watch wasn't worth 30 cents afterwards.
I call it bad judgment to throw a watch at a guy.
Fine. I suppose you knew Charlie Eagles, didn't you?
The Dixons, huh?
Yeah. Born and raised in Belvedere. I think they used to tell it on Charlie he never was outside of Belvedere city limits. Hot-tempered as a horse. Well, he threw my watch at Ed Werfer. Hit him through right in the head. In hell like a panther.
Maybe there's some nice card game where all four could play.
Well, sure. Turn up a few chairs.
I hear Ross is a key the fellow handed me one time.
Handed you?
Out of a clear sky. Never saw the fellow before and never saw him since. I was walking along the street in Dexter, Missouri. I felt a nudge on my elbow, and here's a man in a straw hat and nose glasses. Take this, he says. He had me the key, and then turned around and run down the street. Make head or tail of that?
No.
Make head or tail of that, Dick?
No.
Make head or tail of that, Sadie?
No.
Well, I couldn't make head or tail to it. But thought about it considerable, too. Get down to Dexter, Missouri much, Dick?
Never set foot in the place.
Fine. No, you take it like I'm going into a lunchroom or somewhere. Say to the clerk, look, my friend, two eggs over easy. I don't want any delay and I don't want any cute remarks. Two eggs over easy and hustle. Then I out with my big bunch of keys. Got the trick every time. That waiter will take one look and then his jaw will drop open and he'll trot off after my eggs like a racehorse.
I never thought you were the kind of a gentleman that talks sharp and cross to waiters, Uncle Fletcher.
Uh-huh. Oh, they respect you more, see? Fellow with a big bunch of keys on him gives the impression he is somebody. I've worked it time and time again. Remember Ollie a month ago?
No.
Married Helen Heaps?
Dixon people?
Yeah. Born and raised in Belvedere, just like Charlie Higgles. Well, one time Ollie and myself were going to take in a picture show at Freeport. Ollie stepped up to the ticket window and bought a ticket. I was right behind him, tore him a big bunch of keys. The girl selling tickets took one glance at the keys and said, you may go in free of charge, sir.
What?
Ollie Munfiggle. Died in a funny way, Ollie.
I'm busy, Jess.
Beg pardon, Vic?
Did he swallow a knife and fork?
Who, Ollie? No.
I bet he tripped over a mad dog.
No, he didn't. Ollie Munfiggle got his head caught in a suitcase.
Oh, my.
He was packing his suitcase to take a trip to Newton Isle. I suppose you get around to Newton Isle a considerable bit.
Never been there.
Fine. He was packing his suitcase and his wife was helping him. Half-wit suitcase was so full they couldn't get it shut. All he says, hey, Helen, sit on the half-wit suitcase. Well, sir, she sat on the half-wit suitcase, never noticed that Ollie's head was inside.
He died?
He died.
Oh, my.
Yes, very sad thing.
All your pals seem to end up passing away under very tragic circumstances, Uncle Fletcher.
Fine. No, everybody felt bad about Ollie. Very popular fellow around Belvedere there. Delicious supper tonight, Sadie.
Thank you.
I'll pop popcorn after a while if you want to.
All right.
Around 8 o'clock, 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock, 9:15. We'll feel like popping a little popcorn.
Uh-huh.
How about a four-handed game of rummy?
Yeah, let's play rummy, everybody.
Okay.
How about it, Uncle Fletcher? A nice game of cards, and afterwards we'll get out the popcorn topper.
Fine.
Here's your keys, Uncle Fletcher.
Yeah, I carry keys. All through my life, I've carried keys. Made the point never to throw away a key.
Uh-huh.
I carry keys.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And here we leave, Vic and Sade, until the next time. Say, are there some rosy red tomatoes sitting in your kitchen windowsill? There are? Well, if you really want to taste something good, try slicing those tomatoes and frying them in pure all-vegetable Crisco. Oh, boy. Crisco really does wonders for fried foods. It gives them such crispy, golden crust. And foods fried the Crisco way are digestible. Why, in answer to a question sent to doctors by a leading medical publication, 2 out of every 3 doctors who replied specifically called attention to Crisco's digestibility. Why, one look at snowy white Crisco and you'll know it won't give you heavy, greasy fried foods. Oh, no. They'll be crispy and tender and light. Remember, SureMix Crisco is a new kind of shortening. It gives you lighter cakes than any other shortening we know of.
Yet Crisco's thrifty enough to use for fry food, too. Costs only a few pennies a week to do all your frying. Won't you see what a wonderful difference a pure, all-vegetable shortening can make in your fried foods? Get Crisco today. Don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Save the next time, brought to you by Procter & Gamble, the makers of Crisco. This is Ed Hurley, he's speaking.